Okay, so who's enjoying the holidays? I'm enjoying the holidays. Who's enjoying the lying, having a sleep in? Who's enjoying the hanging around home in your pajamas till an obscene time? Yep. Doing some of those jobs that you that need to be done or that you've kind of said, well, I'll do those when it's the holidays. Has anybody done those? Any of those? Maybe, maybe not. Yes. Who's had the opportunity to go away for a bit, of a break? Fantastic. Yep, to get away, to either relax or to have a bit of action packed. Whatever it is that we do on our holidays, whatever we find relaxing, because of course that is different for everybody, it's really good for us to be able to take a break and have the opportunity to see our lives from a different angle. Preferably horizontal is kind of a good one that you can kind of look at. And also if you happen to be hanging out with other people, as you start to sort of talk about the year that's been or what's going on or what you're looking at going forward, it's always good then to kind of have other people's perspective on it as well. Well, we've been away camping down at the Coromandel, and it is a truly idyllic location down there. There's sun, there's sand, there's surf, there's forest, there's good food, there's great company, and space for some... What? Oh, we got out before then. Yeah, they're up to their knees now, but that's okay. So we were able to have some rest and relaxation, which was really good. And you know what it's like when you're away, and we were camping, so you get out of bed because you have to, because the sun's streaming into the tent, so you sort of, you get up, and so begins the whole process of getting ready for the beach. Yep, do you know what that is? It's the sunscreen. We had three teenage boys who were pretty keen to get down to the beach pretty quickly after they'd had some breakfast, and you'd have to call them back every day and say, have you got your sunscreen on? And so we would lather them up most days with some sunscreen. And as I was doing that, it reminded me of something that I saw when Guy and I were in Australia at the end of last year. We decided to go for a relaxing holiday, and in doing so, we decided to go for a 28k walk around Sydney. And it was fundraising for the South Australian Cancer Council. So, and as we were signing up, I looked online and they had this. And it says, be sun smart, slip, slop, slap, seek, and slide. Now, I don't know that one. I know this one. Who knows this one? Kids, who knows this one from school? Good. So it's slip, slop, slap, wrap. Okay? So what do? You slip on a... slip on a T-shirt. Slop on some sunscreen, slap on a hat, and wrap on some glasses. Okay, now I like that, but if you go back, if we go to this one, slip, slop, slap, seek, slide. So, we know what slip is, except this slip is not a T-shirt, okay? This is a long sleeve top. And slop. Yep, it says 30 plus there, but I know that in Australia they're actually seeking, and apparently in New Zealand it's very difficult to find 30 plus. Most of it is 50 plus these days. So then we're going to slap on a hat. What do you think seek means? Seek some shade. And we're going to slide. What are we going to slide? Some shades. Okay. And yeah, I can see that now because, and especially when we were walking around Sydney, you know, I quite like the sun, I like to be out in the sun, but boy, when we were walking in as much shade as was possible. And I kind of like this, and as I was kind of thinking after we got home and as it was pouring with rain, I kind of like this idea. And as we go, you know, as we prepare to go to the beach, as we prepare to embark on 2018, we can take this logo of slip, slop, slap, seek and slide with us, but with a few twists along the way. So, of course, slip on some sun protective clothing. So in my bag I have here some, I can tell you now, nothing is going to get through this. Okay. Some sun protective clothing. So what would that mean for us? What do you think it might mean? The armour of God. Okay. we need to have, because what the Bible says that we need to have the armor in preparation so that when the day of evil comes, we can stand. And then after we've done everything, we can stand. So this is a before we go out kind of thing. So before we go in the sun, we put our tops on. Before we go out into our day, into our week, into our month, into our year, we need to have the armor of God on. And the first thing it talks about is the belt of truth. And that's where it all kind of comes down to, isn't it? When we know the truth, when we have the truth, God's truth, not necessarily our truth, yeah? Because sometimes our truth has been kind of melded a bit with the world's truth. We need to know what God's truth is. We need to have the belt of truth on us. And then we need to have the breastplate of righteousness. God calls us into righteous living. And as we choose his ways over our own ways or over the current tide of the culture, this righteous living protects the very core of our being, both physically and spiritually. It covers all those vital organs. And we need to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace, the gospel of shalom, that seeks to bring restoration and wholeness. Imagine if wherever we go, and because we are ready and we're prepared and we're filled with the Spirit of God, we are the people who, we are the ones who dispel fear and anxiousness because we speak truth and we bring love and we bring hope. And where there is hatred and pain, we sow love and wholeness. Imagine that, shod with the shoes, the gospel of peace. And then there's the shield of faith. And this is a big shield. So our faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So how do we get this faith? By picking up God's word, knowing the word of God, trusting him. Trusting God, having faith in his faithfulness. And then, of course, we have the helmet of salvation, which is our right thinking, which protects our mind, because, and then it protects our hearts and it protects our actions, because as a man thinketh, so is he. We need to keep our mind well covered and protected. And then, of course, we have the sword of the Spirit, the word of God that helps us to cut through the truth of the world and our perceived truth so that we can clearly see the truth of God. And then, of course, as it says in Ephesians, we need to be praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, with thanksgivings, prayers and supplication, everything. Constant, this constant conversation that we can have with God. So we're going to slip on our protective clothing. And then we're going to slop on some sunscreen. You know, we can be really good at putting sunscreen on others, and you know, when you pour it out and then you lather it all over the backs, because generally that's where others can't put it on and make sure it's on their face all right, you end up often with a little bit left on your hand, yeah? And so you cover yourself up with what's left on your hand, but often that isn't enough, and we need to make sure that we put more sunscreen on ourselves so that nothing is left exposed. Colossians 3, 12 to 17 reads, and I really love this. We can be, chosen by God for this new life of love. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. So never be without your sunscreen. Never be without love. And this is such a cliche kind of thing to say, isn't it? Especially when we live in a society who is unashamed to tell us what their version of love is. But the kind of love that we're talking about is enduring. It's faithful. It's sincere. Not the instant gratification of words or actions kind of love. Throughout this book, the Bible, we see what love looks like and how it behaves. We know that love never gives up, and it cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. It doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head, and it doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep scores of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. And it takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. And it trusts God always. It's always looking for the best. It never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And we know love because we have been loved like this from the Father. And if we don't know or we haven't don't feel like we've experienced the fullness of this love, then we should earnestly try and seek it out from Him, not from people or activities or things that we feel may satisfy. His arms of love and acceptance, of forgiveness and restoration are open wide, waiting for us to run into them. Because when we are filled with love, it's so much easier to love. You know, we love because He first loved us. And the thing is too, when we're filled with love, when we're living in love, when we're living out of love, then we're protected. The things that could hurt us don't hurt us quite so much because we know who we are. We know that we are loved. And nor do we find ourselves trying to win other people's approval. So we're going to slip on a top. We're going to slap on some sunscreen. And then we're going to, and then slap on a hat. Now this is not a great sun hat, I have to say. And I didn't wear it. I did wear a hat, though. And when you wear a hat, you know that something's on your head, yeah? Generally, obviously. And it's knowing who we are in Christ, knowing that we are a royal priesthood. Not only who we are, but whose we are. You know, knowing who we are in Christ is really good. In fact, it's incredible. But living out of that truth is incredibly transforming. Now, I don't know if you have ever seen recently, but a small child who, let's say a little girl, and she puts a crown on her head. Instantly her head comes up, and then the dress comes on, the princess dress, and she starts walking, you know, a little bit more regally. And then those lovely clear plastic glass slippers that they walk around in. And there's a special art to wearing those shoes and keeping the crown on your head. Yeah, you have to walk a certain way. Or Spider-Man, you know, little boy dressed in a blue and red onesie with a giant spider web on him with a big spider on his chest. And suddenly, you know, around every couch and every corner, he fears no evil because he's got them sorted. Isn't that the way that we should be as well? When we know, when we are living in the truth of who we are in Christ, we too should walk with a certain, not with an air of arrogance, but with an air of confidence. We too should not be afraid to enter into a new year, into a new season, because in Christ we are complete. We are alive. We are holy and without blame before Him. We are His children. We are God's workmanship, a new creation. We're light bearers. We're doers of the word. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We are chosen. We are royal priesthood and a holy nation. We have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We are the head, not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are forgiven. We have been delivered, redeemed, healed, and raised up with Christ, and we are seated in the heavenly places. We are free from the law of sin and death, far from oppression. We have the mind of Christ. We have the peace of Christ. And greater is the one who is living in us than he who is living in the world. We have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the power of the Holy Spirit is within us to lay hands upon the sick and to see them recover, to cast out demons, to speak with new tongues. We have the power over the enemy, and nothing shall by any means do us harm. We lack nothing, for God supplies all of our needs. We are firmly rooted, built up, established, and strengthened. We have been called, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we will declare and sing his praises, for God, my God, your God, our God, loves us. That is the truth of who we are. And so we should wear that, we should live that, we should live out of that every day and walk with the confidence and the authority and the assurance that he is with us and he is for us. And so we could go on. It is awesome. Okay, so slip, slop, slack. Slip, slop, slap, seek. So we need to seek some shade. Okay, as you go to the beach, you need to take some protection because it gets very hot while you're waiting for the water to warm up before you enter. Yeah. The maximum amount of shade is most important. And it's time that we take care of ourselves, and that's our body, our souls, and our spirit. You know, if Jesus went to quiet places to spend time with God, it kind of figures that we need to do that too. You know, he says, come to me. He says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. It's this beautiful passage we know. And I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The challenge for us here is twofold. The first one is to find how we can carve out the time, creating space and margin in our lives so that this can happen. And not just because you're tired and burnt out, but because you're thirsty and you're hungry and you want more. The challenge is to take the time to watch and to learn and to try new things and to keep trying and to keep trying until change occurs. The other challenge is to work out for ourselves what the shade might look like. Is it sitting still? Is it moving around? Is it isolation? Is it being part of a crowd? Is it reading the word or listening for the Spirit's quiet voice? Or is it the Spirit's voice through other people's word? Is it one? Or is it all of them or some of them? Only you and he know what it is that you need in that shade time. And those unforced rhythms of grace. You know, grace is like a cool drink on a hot day. Instantly it satisfies. And then the more that you sip throughout the day, the more you realize how thirsty you really are and how much you really need to be drinking to keep your fluids up. You know, we like to go camping. And one of the reasons is that while we're camping, we live very simply, with only the things that we need, along with a few luxury items like a coffee machine and our kettle and toaster and electric fry pan and a few things like that. But ultimately, it's very, very simple. Our whole rhythm changes. We take away all of the expectations that basically we've put upon ourselves, and we live life in a seemingly free and light way, and it's bliss. We're not dictated to by the clock at all. We have space to stop and think, space to do and to be, to hear clearly. Because our bodies tell us that we need to stop and rest, as do our souls and our spirits. We need to be refed, refueled, restored, and sometimes redirected back on course. But we can't rely on this one-stop shop of refueling for the year. We need to respond to the frequent call of our friend, our brother, our king, when he says, come, come to me, get away with me, and recover your life. And then we need to slide. We need to slide on the shades. Now, if you were to go into a clothing store, either a clothing store, a chemist, an optometrist, even a petrol station, you will find many different styles of sunglasses. And I bet even if I asked you all to get out your sunglasses, there would not be two people in the room who would have the same pair. Maybe not, yeah? Because what happens is we go into the store or wherever we get our sunglasses, and we put our glasses on and we go, oh no, that doesn't look good on me. And then you take them off and then you put on the pair that you go, oh yeah, that looks really good. Someone else might pick up the pair that didn't look any good on you and they'll go, oh, that looks great on me. You get what I mean? You know, slide on some shades. be you, be who you are, because we are created uniquely and we're fashioned by the hands of a master craftsman. Sure, along the way there may have been some alterations, either by our own hands or at the hands of others, but at the core of each one of us is the child, is the person that God has created. And one of the challenges that we have is to learn to be comfortable with who we are, not with a, oh yeah, whatever, I don't really care kind of attitude, nor with a look how marvelous I am attitude, but with humility, with thankfulness, and with a sense of responsibility to fulfill the purposes that God has over our lives. You know, we know this with our heads. We really go, yeah, we know that we shouldn't compare and we should be really comfortable with who we are. So let's try to stop being that person that kind of looks at someone else and kind of thinking, man, I wish I was them, or what I have isn't better as good as theirs, or you know what, that kind of thing. And actually learn to live out what we know to be true. By the way that we bring what we have and who we are to the table and say, hey, this is what I have to offer. And to celebrate with one another the bounty that we have in this community. So slip, slop, slap, seek, and slide. And so we come to the communion table. The table that was set for us over 2,000 years ago. When around a similar kind of table, Jesus took the bread that was before him and he broke it and he gave thanks. And he gave thanks because of and despite of who was with him. Off to class. And what was to come before him. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup as well. And he also gave thanks for it. As we receive the emblems this morning, let's allow the Spirit to minister to us. It may be that you need to slap something on, or slip something on, slap, receive his love. It may be you need to be reminded of who you are in him, for all that he has done, because he loves you so incredibly. It may be that you need to take some time out to be able to breathe, to be in his presence, to hear his voice, in whatever way you need to do that. And maybe it's learning to be comfortable, to learn to love who you are, because who you are is beautiful, it's perfect, and he loves you incredibly. So we're just going to take some time as the emblems are handed out, and then once we've all received them, I'll pray, and then we can eat and drink together. Father, you love us so incredibly. And you show us in so many ways, but not so profoundly as we hold these emblems of the sacrifice of your Son. You've made a way where we could not. And for that, Lord God, we are truly thankful. We thank you that you loved us first. From the beginning of time, you knew us. And as some parents do, they have hopes and dreams, but you have certainty for us, Lord God. And in that, we are truly grateful that we can trust you, that you are faithful, and that your promises are yes and amen. Father, as we partake of the emblems this morning, I thank you that you are speaking and that you have spoken to each one of us. And it's your desire to minister to us in the place we truly need it. We thank you for your overarching protection over us, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord God, we say thank you. We continue to commit ourselves to you, Lord God, for 2018. Lord, we don't know what the year holds, but you do. And Lord God, you ask us to trust you, to walk with you, to lean into you. Lord, help us to watch, help us to learn, help us to step out into the things that you call us to for 2018. Lord God, that others may see your good, our good deeds and praise your name, that you would be honored and glorified in all that we say and all that we do today and in all days. We love you. It's an honor to be called your children. It's an honor to be here today and to partake together. We love you, Lord. Amen. Let's eat and drink together.